Welcome to Ixnay, the podcast where we take a deep dive into the shallow end of the electorate as a means to gaming the 2020 election to our advantage. Turn on, tune in, vote out. Hey, all right now. In another week of shit hitting the political fan, the post office remains a mess, Stephen Bannon gets arrested on a yacht, Donald Trump Jr. and Jared Kushner receive criminal complaints, and Joe Biden gets her done at the Democratic National Convention. While the president, well, with apologies to Rome, the Donald continuing to fiddle while democracy staggers makes the Emperor Nero look like a backwoods amateur. But hey, it is what it is. I'm your host, Trace Crutchfield, and on this episode of Ixnay, we'll chat, or rather hand the microphone over to Jello Biafra. If you're unfamiliar with the man most famous for fronting the dead Kennedys, just give him a couple of minutes of your time. There's no one like him, and Jell-O remains one of the wildest rhetorical rides in American culture. Plus, an important scene report from the front lines in Portland, Oregon. But first, the so-called Russian hoax was officially unhoaxed this week by the Senate Intelligence Committee in a whopping 1,000-page report. But before rushing off to read the whole thing, because gloating is a legitimate 2020 pastime, USA Today does a good job of highlighting the key points in an article called Four Men, Four Takeaways from the Monster Senate Intelligence Report on Russian Election Meddling. Mercy. We'll link to it in the show notes. Previously on Ixnay.
Politics is a replacement for warfare and homicide. You do know that, Trace, right? I mean, so at the end of the day, we were hitting each other in the head with rocks 50,000 years ago. And then we said, okay, let's not do that. Let's get into politics. So I have no problem when they're shooting at me. I actually think it's fun. You know, if Trump's going off on me, I find it entertaining that he's like that big of an imbecile that he's got to come after a guy like me instead of running the country, you know, but that's just an example. I'm on TV last night talking about the guy, and I said, the guy's unhinged and he's focused on the wrong things. And then an hour later, he proves it by coming after me. You know, the guy's nuts.
Yep. That was Anthony Scaramucci talking to us about, you know who. The election is coming. So ignore the polls like they're popular music. Embrace your inner punk and stay focused on your local scene. To defeat this thing, every state, every city, every county is going to need maximum voter turnout. I've said it before, but clearly we need to run up the score. So make a difference before somebody else makes a difference for you. And repeat after me. It's the Electoral College, stupid. Enough of the hogwash. Let's get to it. Ladies and gentlemen, a warm welcome to your friend and mine, Jell-O Biafra.
Yes.
Thanks for the time, Jell-O. Really, I really appreciate it. I guess I should start by saying that I went to college in Austin in 1981. And by the summer of 82, I'd seen the dead Kennedys play with the Dicks.
Right.
And at some point then, the Rock Against Reagan thing happened and we all went to Dallas.
That was in 84.
Yeah, in 84. But I first saw you guys, I guess, in 82. But then in 84, yeah. I went to Dallas for the RNC convention. And that was the first year that I could vote in a presidential election. So I just kind of want to thank you because that really set my political lanes a little bit. At that early age, I'm still kind of raising hell in that certain way. And I'd really just like to thank you for a career dedicated to being a pain in the ass to the system.
I'm very grateful anybody's even interested at this point. I'm 62 years old now. You know, punks back in the day didn't write Jefferson Airplane or even, you know, even Stooges on the back of their jackets. And now there's kind of this reverence for the old school, which I hate that term. I mean, we were blowing up the school. I mean, I'm one of my proudest achievements is my contribution helping burn down the Hotel California. But
fabulous.
1982, the Dallas show at the Ritz, that was kind of a rough one. There were people swinging chains.
I was in Austin.
Trying to go at me. Our amp cords got cut and whatnot, all because I was too political and too preachy and stuff. And some of the people involved were even from San Francisco because the fuck-ups just happened to be in town down there, kind of helping poison the well. I mean, the good parts of that was getting to see a tremendous Dicks show with Gary Floyd and drag. The only time I ever saw Gary in drag is he dropped that when moved the Dicks to San Francisco, and it was a whole new powerful dimension. It's like, my God, a 300-pound communist drag queen who can sing like Janis Joplin. This is amazing. And forward 2 years later to the Rock Against Reagan, I think my favorite memory of that, I don't know whether you were part of the flag burning that went on that very day that went all the way to the Supreme Court, and Antonin Scalia, of all people, the Mr. Libertarian in some ways, was saying, no, that's freedom of speech. You can't ban burning the flag. And you know, when they run out of other stuff, either Trump amok or possibly even Biden is going to make another pitch to have a constitutional amendment banning the burning of the flag. Hillary Clinton did that in 2008. Dianne Feinstein has done it before. And of course, Daddy Bush blew it up clear off the scale. So I think more flags burned right around then than the entire history of this country and stuff, because he was bitching and moaning about it so much. But 1984, that Republican convention, my favorite part was that right before we were really starting our set, but we were on stage, the delegates began emptying out of the convention hall, and we were right next door.
Yes.
There they were. And when we had enough of them, all mass, a great big line, got the whole audience to turn towards them, fuck off and die! Fuck off and
die! It was incredible. It was an incredible moment. I mean, I never really stopped thinking about it. It's funny because those kind of things, even seeing the Dicks and you and the Big Boys, and MDC was a big band, but Dave Stain too, and all those guys, and even somebody like Gibby Haynes, just being able to kind of be a pain in the ass to try to move the system a little bit. And we the reason that we have this thing called Ixnay, which is essentially we started a super PAC because someone told us that super PACs were bad. So we're like, why the fuck don't we have one? And we'll just focus on getting Trump out of
office. A political action committee, a super PAC. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's a bribe. It's super PAC.
Yeah.
You know, what makes you so super, dude?
It just adds an extra syllable, right? It's just a little more excitement.
I hope it's a little more in the public interest than fucking super delegates.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, you know, we're just obviously just trying to raise money to get Donald Trump out of office, because we don't really give a shit about Joe Biden per se, but we're just like, Trump is a bummer. This, we actually thought it would be fun to get going.
Well, anyway, put all your eggs in the change of talking head on television every night, which is mainly what a president is at this point. I keep telling people, even if you're holding your nose over Biden, and thankfully in California, I have the freedom of voting my conscience and not voting for one of the godfathers of the drug war who arranged it to get Clarence Thomas on the Supreme Court and howled at John Ashcroft for plagiarizing the Patriot Act from one of his own bills. Biden is not our friend. And what that means is, if he does get in, even more than Obama, because we saw what happened when we just assumed everything was all better, blowtorch up his fucking ass. You know, we don't want Larry Summers running the economy again. We don't want these hacks back again. We don't want another attorney general like Eric Holder, who was plucked straight out of Wall Street to make sure nobody in Wall Street went to jail and all. There was a reason the Wall Street people picked Obama over Clinton and McCain and put their money there. You know, largest contribution to his 08 Hope He Changed You campaign was Goldman Sachs. You know, and that's what we're looking at. I mean, they tried and tried to find another so-called moderate, a so-called centrist. You know, anybody who calls himself a centrist, is what they're saying to me is, don't trust anything I say and don't trust anything I do, because, you know, Nixon, then Reagan, then even Clinton, as well as the W and Trump, moved the so-called, you know, we want to be stuck in the rut in the middle of the road. They've moved the middle of the road so far to the right.
Yeah, they have.
That Bill Clinton's health care reform was to the right of what Richard Nixon was trying to roll out and stuff. And foreign policy wasn't too much better either. Remember when that horrible coup happened in Honduras and they got another, you know, drug regime in there now? And Hillary Clinton praised the coup and Obama condemned it within, you know, hours or minutes of each other, each not knowing what the other one was going to do. What I'm trying to say is, we have election coverage and, you know, corporate cartoon McNews as run by corporations who bought out the networks and stuff. It's so dumbed down that election coverage has been more and more like pro wrestling, not just in 2016, but going way, way, way the hell back, 2000 or even earlier. You know, it's basically, you know, it's not the whole thing. You're supposed to focus on who's going to be president. That's what you're supposed to care about. And the president you want is the one that's able to raise the most money. Oh, now we know Harris is a great pick, man. Got her start banging Willie Brown. But, you know, a great pick because she helped them raise $48 million in 48 hours. Hooray for you. You could have hit up a Mexican cartel for that, saying you wouldn't bust them, and they could give you that much over not. They also might say, look, we're already in tight with the CIA anyway. We don't need you. We'll be here long after you're gone, just like presidents of Mexico. So ho, ho, ho. But again, I digress. The point of voting is not who's president. It's the rest of it.
Right.
It matters who the mayor is. It matters who's on the city councils, the school boards, which fundamentalist Christian groups know all too well.
Right.
It matters who's in the state legislature, which is why, you know, the Koch brothers and the Money Gags and others put so much money into tipping state houses. So then if you've got a Tea Party crackpot like a Scott Walker or a Snyder or one of the others in that completely gut all the union protections, worker protections, poison everybody in Flint just because they feel like they can and make some money off of it. You know, they're playing the long game. You know, Michael Moore puts it, I mean, here we are, we're enjoying sex, great outdoors, having fun. While the other side, they bound out of bed every morning looking for new ways to screw the poor.
That's a great quote.
So basically, for crying out loud, pay attention and vote smart. Those ballot initiatives, we have to have a get to have a direct choice in whether things like cannabis is decriminalized, rent control, whether to spend all the money that we need to feed starving children and get homeless people a house on a football stadium instead. Local issues. The local stuff is where the action is, because so many few people pay attention to that. When people like us do pay attention and show up, and an obvious example was, you know, this virtual cigar chomping boss who was supposed to be the next Speaker of the House, Joe Crowley, the fourth ranking Democrat. He lost his primary to Alejandro Ocasio-Cortez and had no idea what hit him. You know, this is what happens when people who are interested show up. So sure, okay, we're not getting Bernie Sanders. We're not getting Elizabeth Warren, who I think probably would have been a better president and more electable. But I might have actually broken my vow never to vote for Democrats, to vote for one of them if they got it. But local issues, it's really important, for example, who the Secretary of State is at the state level, because the Secretary of the State, they're not making diplomatic deals with China or with Israel or with oil sheiks, or whatever. They're running the elections for the state. And so what happens when Tea Party people seize that office and it's a priority for them, you know, you get vote suppression. Like the guy in Georgia who just threw, what was it, 500,000 people off the ballot and then became governor. You know, this stuff is so skewed that if the votes were really properly counted, the Stacey Abrams and Beto O'Rourke and Gillum in Florida and some others, they would have won and won big. In other words, they actually, did, but the votes were tossed out. That's the real vote fraud. And one of the ways it's done, according to Greg Palast, the author who wrote The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, about how W stole 2000 and 04, then he released a movie with the same title, Best Democracy Money Can Buy, before the 2016 election, predicting Trump, it was rigged and Trump was going to steal it. And the way it was rigged was not necessarily for Trump. They didn't know he was going to run off for a nomination. They just wanted to make sure they got Scott Walker or Chris Christie or some other, you know, unspeakable horror who actually would get more done than Trump does in there. But basically, He points the finger at the Interstate Cross-Check Program, which is very much still in effect. It was concocted by that right-wing wunderkind from Kansas named Chris Kobach, who also wrote the Show Me Your Papers law for the state of Arizona when they tried that. Thankfully, he lost his Senate primary, but all that means is he's going to go back into the private sector and stuff. You know, maybe if Trump gets back in, he'll be attorney general or something. But anyway, Kobach got 29 states, many of them with Tea Party secretaries of state, even if they were like Colorado, where those people didn't have the other offices, but they got that one. And the reason they got it was so then you could opt in things like going to Chris Kobach for the cross-check program, where you didn't have to have the locals or the, you know, in Wisconsin, they're crossing all these people off the rolls and more in Georgia. No, you just let a computer do it. Throw all 29 states' voter databases in one big one, put it in the computer the way Chris Kobach arranged it, and just let it run. So anybody with the same name is obviously the same person committing vote fraud, and you just toss them off the rolls. And Palace documented that they were lying when they said they were taking into account middle names, social security numbers. No. Your name is Washington, last name, you're probably gone because so many people named Washington are African American. Even people named Wong or Chin got thrown off too. And if your name is Jose Gonzalez or something, all 2,000 to 5,000 of you got kicked off the voter rolls in 29 states. And most of the people this happened to don't know it happened, don't know their ballot got tossed, and don't know it may well happen again. Even though Colorado has a Democrat Secretary of State now, what do you want to bet it's still in cross-check and they just don't know about it because not enough people are talking about it? When I found out about this right after, you know, cross-check actually succeeded and Palace documented, they're like, oh, where are all the black people in North Carolina? They didn't come vote for Hillary. Well, maybe some of them were just listening to Chris Rock when he said, oh, well, I'm all for a woman president, just not that woman. You know, we can all relate to that. But I think they actually did show up. You know, what was a 10, 15,000 vote difference in North Carolina? And Palace said 75,000 plus or something like that were booted off the rolls that year in 2016 because of cross-check. And bigger numbers in Michigan, bigger numbers in Wisconsin, bigger numbers in Pennsylvania,
Michigan,
which also meant that all these crackpot Tea Party senators that were supposed to lose in a landslide because they're such jackasses all got back in. In time to rubber stamp putting Gorsuch, who's like a Coors family protege, among other things, and Kavanaugh, the rapist, on the Supreme Court, which means we now have four Supreme Court justices who shouldn't even be there. Roberts and Alito were the other two after, you know, Bush stole the second election through Ohio mainly, as well as Florida in 2004. And wimpy little Democrat John Kerry didn't really fight it and only said later, yeah, I think the election was stolen. You could have gone to Ohio and stood in front of the Capitol and said that then. You know, that's the kind of action we're going to need from Biden and probably won't get. But, you know, people are just almost too comfortable now. It's down ballot, though. You can't let any more of these people get on the Supreme Court. You can't let these people get on state Supreme Courts either.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, forget president. It's the other part. Forget the little, you know, the coronation ceremony that conventions are now. I'm so damn old. I remember when those conventions were really, really fun. You were on the edge of your seat because it wasn't entirely clear who was going to get nominated, what the platform was going to be. Very memorable tug of war in 72 for all the attempts to get McGovern off the bat, you know, to make sure they didn't nominate him. Hubert Humphrey tried to grab it again at the last minute. And a really grumpy, scowling Southern governor I'd never heard of before came as the leader of the ABM, not anti-ballistic missile, but anybody but McGovern, he called it. And that guy was named Jimmy Carter. You know, he wasn't smiling like when he ran in 76. And the minute he got in, the smile was gone. You know, I mean, that was the last time I voted for a Democrat for president. I turned 18. I was sick of Nixon. I could do this to Gerald Ford and all that stuff. Yeah, anything. But He was part of this group that controls the upper echelon of the so-called super-duper delegates of the Democratic Party to this day, who want to make sure corporate, conservative, and no more McGoverns, no more Jesse Jacksons. You know, that's what the Democratic Leadership Council was all about. In the past, leaders of that were Bill Clinton, Al Gore, and Joe Lieberman, as well as Evan Bayh. And so, that dude Perez, who's supposed to be running the Democrats now, he's totally part of that.
You know, I watched a bit of it last night, and it was more like a kind of a disaster relief telethon. They talked a little bit about the coronavirus and Trump being paranoid, but there wasn't anything about police brutality, racial injustice, climate change, all the things people are out in the streets protesting about didn't get any mention at all. And you've already kind of made this point, but like...
Well, they still have a few more days to go before they trot Harris and Biden out and they all wave to an audience of like five people with cameras and stuff, and maybe some confetti will rain down that some poor minion is pouring out of a big garbage can up top or something, waste basket or something like that. I mean, in a way, it's kind of refreshing. It's like what Frank Zappa talked about with Monster.
Oh, now they have some like a t-shirt cannon.
Strings attached to the jaws of the giant spider, so to speak. But they will address it. And if they don't, then we know what our job is. I mean, I agree with Jim Hightower. I mean, they say we need a third party. I wish we had a second one.
Yeah. Well, one of the funny things along the way here with this anti-Trump thing is that tons of people, well, a lot of, you know, people say they're voting for Trump because of their bank account or whatever. And there's this great fear among some people we talk about that Joe Biden is going to wreck the economy. And I just got through talking to some economists last week. I was like, he's a fucking middle of the road capitalist. What are people crazy? Do you think, is Wall Street really worried that Joe Biden is going to wreck the stock market?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, they weren't worried about Obama either. You know, a friend of mine who runs that Fire Dog Lake news site, or at least did in Washington, D.C., who came out of the punk scene of Mabuhay years before, she came through town and said, look, Obama, after he wowed him in 2004 with that convention speech, went up and down K Street knocking on everybody's door, knock, 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 I'm your guy, knock, 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 I'm your guy, and put enough time into that that, okay, you are our guy, just so long as, unlike the savings and loan scandal when even Daddy Bush was president, and he wasn't exactly honest or gave a damn about anybody, but, you know, something like over 150 people went to jail in that one, and with Obama and the crash of 2008, nobody did. I mean, Bernie Madoff did, but that was a separate scam, and he confessed to it.
Yeah, that was his own thing.
The Lloyd Blank fines and the Jamie Dimons and whatnot, who should have been, you know, at least hanging out with Jeffrey Epstein in that cell for the next 20 years, you know, instead they're just laughing all the way to the bank. And Biden has always been very good to them. I mean, he represents, if you can call it, represents Delaware, which is the most corrupt state in the country as far as laundering money. And the credit card companies are located there for a reason, and he's their senator.
Everybody starts their business there.
Obama didn't blow up the economy. He just did. He only did it to, you know, he rescued the big people while all kinds of other people lost their homes, some of whom were so angry they actually voted for Trump out of spite. There are people that do that.
Yeah. So again, you make the great point that voting down ballot is the way to kind of sort of rescue what we have left. And when we made our first TV commercial was against Ted Cruz in Texas, and I got on TV and said, you may have no interest in fucking with politics, but politicians are interested in fucking with you. Right? So you've got to vote.
That's what, like, expletive added thing that Ralph Nader has said all these years. If you don't find politics, politics will find you.
Yeah. I just don't know how to convince people to vote. Obviously, a lot of them are taken off the roll. Like you mentioned, like in the Greg Palast stuff, that like tons of people have been taking off the rolls. But a lot of people, I mean, I think this year there's going to be a lot of enthusiasm. But what is the key to opening people's brain?
Well, you also have to give them something to vote for. and stress that even if you don't want to vote for Biden, although a lot of people are saying, you know, well, there was just some poll saying, well, why do you want Biden? And 56% answered because he isn't Trump. But
yeah,
we can play into that too, but it's still, so people need something to vote for. And that's where knowing people running for the other offices locally, the ballot initiatives, this affects you, this is in it for you, even if you only vote on this one, then do it. But I mean, voting can be like drugs or tattoos. The more you do it, the more you want to do more.
Now's the time of the show where we talk about sponsors. Almost every podcast has a moment where they ask supporters for donations, sometimes via a subscription service like Patreon. But you know, we're not just a podcast, we're a super PAC. So, well, maybe just play it. That's a little something we like to call backmasking for dollars. Now, you'll never be able to tell, but it's a fundraising message in reverse designed to subliminally encourage whoever hears it to send money to Ixnay. Can you hear it one more time? Now, I know what you're thinking. Subconscious messages? What the hell? I saw HBO's Watchmen. But we're only using rock and roll style backmasking as a way to raise money. We're not Satanists, after all. The beauty of this scheme is that we can play the message from time to time, and you won't even be bothered to notice that we're begging, well, maybe more like persuading you to give us money. I think you'll agree that as a fundraising strategy, that's pretty cool. Less intrusive and even less demanding of your conscious yet receptive mind. So just relax and let us ixnay your troubles away while you donate early and often, even if you don't know why. So what do you think it is about this, the American character, that makes us all so this homeland insecurity? It's like there's like a psychic false flag. So many Americans are so worried about something coming to get us here when obviously the enemy is this bullshit in the middle of us.
Well, everybody's got to figure out how to communicate that in their own way. And that does not mean just blogging to people who already agree with you. No.
Right.
I was using that phrase clear back in the Gulf War protests on out called don't hate the media, become the media. And now we are at a point where instead of having the independent media centers like we did in 2000, everybody can be their own independent media center. But it's a matter of how you use those tools, or are the tools using you? Is this all this digital age making us smarter or making us dumber? Overall, I think it's making it smarter because there's more things we can do with this now. However, you have to make sure people stay smart about it. I call it media literacy. You know, you shouldn't even be able to graduate from high school until you pass a class on media literacy. But of course, they deliberately don't teach media literacy, because how else can you have generation after generation of people who are so militantly stupid, they believe Fox News and vote for Donald Trump and their local QAnon crackpots into the legislatures and stuff. This whole thing was bred. I mean, they didn't just cut school budgets because they were greedy and didn't want to pay property taxes. They keep cutting school budgets because they want people to be more obedient drones. I mean, even people like Bill Gates and Arne Duncan, who's Obama's education secretary, are into this too. You know, we want charter schools to teach specific things, and they teach to these tests, and that way they'll be the most productive they can be, and their little cubicle in the tech world, or even working from home, and ask the least amount of questions, because we have taught them not to be curious. Instead, and this even went back when I was in school, thou must be afraid of your own imagination. Be afraid of your own ideas. Be afraid of your own intelligence, because somebody might not like you. You know, there was an advantage to growing up when I did, and the kind of town I did, which was a college town in Boulder, Colorado, that also had all these scientific institutes. So you had, you know, scientist kids, professors' kids, and others. You had a really, not just a really, you know, a lot of intelligent people in the student body, but a lot of weird people too. So it wasn't like later, you know, dear Jello Biafra, I'm the only weird kid in my school and all the others are all in the Campus Crusade for Christ and stuff. I want to die. What should I do? And rather than advise on different ways to kill yourself, I was like, look, you know, as soon as you get out of there, get the fuck out of town, you know, it's going to be rough, but the older you are, the more quickly that's going to fade into the rearview mirror. But Meryl Streep once said, you know, real life really isn't like college. It's much more like high school. So you still, the bullies are still the bullies. The catty ones are still the catty ones. And the people who never really had an honest bone in their body still don't. And you got to be on guard and be ready to navigate that. You can't just want everything to be a safe space against the real world. Real world, sorry kids, safe space or not, there's assholes out there. You're going to run into them every single day. You might even be one when you least want to be one. And you can't just hide in all this all the time. You know, I get it about trying to, you know, have, say, venues where not one woman has a fingers grabbing her ass or anything like that. You know, I get that. But suddenly wanting all these things taken out of curriculum, not just college, but high school and beyond, because it might upset one person in the class. I haven't figured out quite how I'm going to fight that in the song yet, but man, when even people like the bigger comedians, again, I quote Chris Rock saying they don't do college campus shows anymore because there's so much censorship, not coming from the right, but from the other side, we want a transcript of everything you're going to say in advance. University of Texas in Austin tried to do that to me once for a spoken word thing, maybe 86, 87, 88, somewhere in there. And I said, no, I'm not going to do it. I didn't even say I'm not going to do it because I often go off of bullet points anyway. And what I say changes every single night. No, I'm not going to do it on principle because you are fucking with my freedom of speech. And now, and another one like that, I was on a panel at the CMJ, College Music Journal Convention once. And there was a censorship panel coincided with Bill Clinton picking Al Gore as his running mate, which meant Tipper Gore was that a heartbeat away from a first lady campaign to make sure we could never record music again and stuff and play the racial card like she did to go after the rap community. But, I insisted if I was going to be on that panel, like I always did with those censorship panels, you must have a right winger. You must have a religious fanatic or somebody who's active in this area and seen as respectable by other people active in this area. Otherwise, it's just preaching to the choir of a bunch of hipsters at the College Music Journal Convention who don't think these people exist, and there goes Jello exaggerating again. So the one we had there was a guy named Brent Bazell, who's a fanatic anti-reproductive rights activist and many other things. He's active to this day. His father, with the same name before him, was some of the first, violent attacks on abortion clinics, from what I've heard and stuff. But anyway, Bazell came out and said, well, here's some wicked evil lyrics. This offends me as a Catholic. And as a Catholic this, and as a Catholic that. And I went, hey, wait a minute. There's some Catholics and some parts of Catholic Church that really, really, really offends me. And all the pedophilia scandals really started hitting it. I was just thinking about how they were going to third world countries trying to prevent anybody from practicing any kind of birth control and taking no responsibility for the wars they helped cause later with all the overpopulation versus the lack of resources, including water. I was disgusted with how dared this guy say you have to police everything that comes out of your mouth and think in advance, will it offend a Catholic? So now when it says, will it offend this group? Will it offend that group? I mean, it's a real touchy tightrope and stuff. But, I'm a punk rocker. I live to offend. I like to do it creatively, and I like to hit the right targets. You know, oppressors making fun of the oppressed aren't funny. Coming from the other direction up, that's pretty amusing. And my favorite lately, it was one of the best political pranks in recent years was all those TikTok kids who had Trump thinking a million people were going to see his rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
No.
I mean, you go, kids. Don't ever lose that spirit. Don't ever turn into somebody else when you get older.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Don't grow up. That's a good lesson, too. Just stay mad at things. So why don't you tell me about the you're making a new record now?
Guantanamo School of Medicine.
It's pretty much
another record. Why don't you tell me a little
bit about
that?
Getting the mastering done and finalizing the art and everything else. It's my band, Jello Biafra, from the Guantanamo School of Medicine. First album since we did White People and the Damage Done, clear back when Obama was still president. But it took longer than I thought for a variety of reasons, many of which are my own damn fault. But now, to be unleashed any time now, is the album Tea Party Revenge Porn. Wait till you see the covers. And for the first time ever, there's videos to go with this one, too. You know, there's
fabulous.
Five of them. We've dropped two of them so far. The one about the anti-reproductive rights fanatics we call Taliban USA. And it was supposed to drop right after that Supreme Court decision where a lot of us were justifiably afraid that was going to be the one where they'd used it as the excuse to totally blow
right.
up Roe v. Wade. And a lawyer friend of mine in the Phoenix area even told me, no, 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 this case is crafted so they can't just kick decisions on reproductive rights back to the states. They could ban it outright for the whole country right here and now if they rule that way. And, well, Roberts and company decided to punt for another year and find an even more tasty case before they blow up Roe v. Wade and wait till after the election. But so they killed my viral video. I'd much rather people still have reproductive rights, but damn it, they killed that video. Would have gone viral after that. Taliban USA is dropped, and the last big gulp about, you know, climate collapse, as it should be called. And people, even if they don't deny it, they're just like, well, we're about to run out, so let's just waste everything now. I want my SUV. I want, well, you know, more freeways. Fuck everybody. We're going to lose it all soon, so let's waste more now. And, of course, other people, from everybody from Mike Pompeo to Scott Pruitt to Sarah Palin to James Watt, Reagan's Interior Secretary, are all these end times believers who don't usually talk about rapture and Armageddon unless they're with their own people. Yeah. But when a lot of them say the once Jesus comes back, it's going to be Old Testament law where you can execute people for witchcraft, homosexuality, being an unruly child, and disobedient wife, whatever, you know, thus the Taliban USA title, because that's those people too. But it's also, you know, a lot of these people who are all into the strip mining and the drill baby drill and everything else, I mean, they think we're wasting the resources that God gave us because Jesus is coming back very, very soon, and he's going to put it all back, plus all those Republican deficits, the financial deficits. Jesus loves America best. We all know that, right? So Jesus is going to put all the money back, too. You know, there were people in the upper echelons of the W administrations who openly believed that.
It's just too much sometimes.
You know, I keep waiting for somebody to ask Trump when he's just mouthing off and off-the-cuff stuff like you should be shooting up Lysol, and oh, Biden is anti-God and things like that.
Right.
Ask him right then and there, well, do you believe in the end times? Because he has so many end times people, including Pence, around him. And even though it's obvious you know, Trump worships himself above all other things, there's religion hiding in there from time to time, too. And not just because he finds, you know, the religious fanatics useful, but also he was raised in a megachurch, an early megachurch.
Yeah,
Norman Vincent Peale. Heard of Norman Vincent Peale?
Exactly.
You know, that was a national.
Yeah, we talked about it on the podcast.
Manhattan in the 60s, maybe 50s and 70s, too. I don't know. He did Donald and Ivana's wedding, too. So the Trumps were friends with Norman Vincent Peale. And he, I guess, was kind of close to what they call prosperity gospel now. You know, the God helps those who help themselves, take it to the most extreme of the extremes and stuff.
It doesn't really matter what the truth is. His thing was, like, how do you perceive the truth?
He was like, it doesn't really matter what the truth
is. How do you bring on rapture, Armageddon, get Jesus to come back. You know, they keep wanting to put to, you know, step on the gas, put the pedal to the metal. You know, we've got to have Old Testament law now
that,
or Jesus won't come back. And that's why we need to censor people's records and censor these books and, you know, have everybody, you know, not be able to say anything on college campuses anymore. And then, and that's why the evangelicals are so into the Israeli settlements and put so much money into that. Mike Huckabee says
they need
wants
that red
to
heifer
there, and why Trump is all
they
like
need the red heifer, right?
Jerusalem, expand the occupied territories, so there's never going to be a Palestinian state, and then for good measure, let's threaten nuclear war on Kim Jong Un and Iran, and then of course start slipping nuclear technology to the Saudis, so then they'll have a bomb that could go either way, and then Jesus is going to come back when it all goes down. Why doesn't somebody ask Trump if he believes in the end times and see what his answer is? I mean, he can't even admit that Kamala Harris was born in Oakland. Granted, okay, I'm not 100% sure either. I wasn't there when she popped out of the womb. However, I'm 99.9999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999
Crazy. Well, look, I'll get you out of here on this one. I've said this a lot, that anybody who wants to be president, who really, really wants to be president, probably shouldn't be president.
So oh, yeah.
If you could install anyone, they could be living, dead, crazy, or sane, who would you make as the president of the United States right now?
Boy, that's a good question. I'm not sure I have an actual answer for. I mean, Wesley Willis comes to mind, but I was thinking more like, if I was president, who could be my press secretary? You know, instead of Huckabee Sanders up there, that bimbo, the blondie Trump's got there now, instead you've got Wesley doing the press conference.
Haley.
Whoa, what about this? What about this thing with the Postal Service? Suck a baboon's funky booty hole with tomato sauce and stuff. I think it would be great.
He likes to rub your head. He would love to come and rub everyone's head with his own head.
He headbutted me so many times, the last couple times he stayed here at my house, that I had one too. And be like, oh, God, what happened to you? Did you get in the fight? No, Wesley stayed at my house. Oh, cool. You know, it was a roller coaster ride if you had to be his minder and stuff. But the minute he left, you missed him. What can I say? And the time when I really thought of Wesley was when even though I didn't have that much confidence, I knew his voting record in the Senate, and I voted Green Party. When the Obamas came out on that stage in the park in Chicago for the victory speech,
right?
You know, that night, and just thinking, you know, how much this would have meant to Dr. King, and then the very next person came to my head, oh my God, how much would this have meant to Wesley? And even though Jesse Jackson criticized his policies, he and Oprah were fighting back tears. I thought sometime when there was a pause of Obama speechifying, you'd hear from 100 yards back in the crowd, oh, Barack Hussein Obama is my friend to Jesus' name. Barack Obama will whip Saddam Hussein's ass. He will rock your ass to Russia. Stuff. I mean, he would have been so happy.
Wesley Willis for president.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think Wesley Willis for president is a perfect answer. It's a perfect answer. I used to live in Chicago, so I know him quite well, too.
Yeah, he would have been perfect.
Yeah, Chicago's not the same without him, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's sad. Well, thanks again. I really appreciate your time.
Oh, man, now you got me on a roll. Wesley making Putin headbutt him. All right. On that note, yes, even in the age of Trump amok, there are things to live for. And some things, even though we've lost the person now, you don't just, you know, grieve forever. You can't let the grief of losing somebody erase the good part.
That's right. His memory is a blessing.
All right.
Goodbye, Jello Biafra. It's that time of the podcast where we talk about wheat pasting Ixnay posters in public places. As a bonus, every Ixnay poster sold now comes with our homemade wheat paste recipe. Now, I'm not going to pretend that our recipe is anything special, because almost any third grader knows about the magic of flour and water. But just to be safe, we'll put the link in the show notes. And for a limited time at IxnayPack.org, you can get 3 posters for $20. But that's not all. If you listen closely, I'll give you a surefire way to keep from getting arrested in the unlikely chance you get hassled by the man. This is a take on a move I learned from Michael Cera about shooting video without a permit, and it's as surefire as it gets at hypnotizing cops into letting you get away with shit. You are going to want to write this part down. If anyone asks what you are doing in the middle of the night with a bucket of glue and some Ixnay posters, just say, with innocence in your heart, "Oh, hi there. This is part of a bachelor party scheme we are cooking up for our buddy. Our friend is an ardent Trump supporter, like all of us, and we intended to walk past this on the night of the bachelor party and video the reaction so we can play it back later at the wedding reception. The bride is actually the mastermind, so we could hardly say no." That's it. Don't waver. Cops dig this kind of shit, and because society is stuck in a patriarchal rut, even female cops will get it and give you a pass. So order today at ixnaypack.org and let the location scouting begin. Everyone, to the phones.
Hi, my name is Rodrigo Malgarejo, and I was told from a close friend, TG Firestone, there was an interest in finding out more about what's going on in Portland at the moment. So here's a really quick summary. What we've been experiencing in Portland the last 3 months has been a steady attendance of people demanding action against the Portland Police Bureau to defund and disband and be held accountable for the increasing campaign of violence and abuse towards the black and brown community. As of the first 2 months of nightly marches and demonstrations, we encountered 2 weeks of heavy-handed federal agent response to protests outside the federal building downtown, resulting in numerous injuries towards demonstrations and an indiscriminate use of tear gas, which we are now finding has had physical effects on people, including digestive, menstrual, and lung damage. Since the deal made with Governor Brown to remove feds from the city, she has brought in state police to help local police bring law and order to the city. There has been continued nightly protests outside the city's police precincts, including the Portland Police Association Union office, which has resulted in continued violent response by the police in instances of press suppression, where they have been tackled, shoved, and arrested members of the press that come out daily to document the events. An increase in arrests have now been addressed by the new appointed district attorney, calling on all charges made during the 75 days of protesting to be dropped. The city council is also working on ways to defund the police department, but not much has been done to quell the nightly gatherings, which we will see continue steadily as we get closer to the elections.
To leave your own scene report, ring up the Ixnay hotline at 512-766-8279 and give it the old maximum rock and roll. Also, a reminder that Ixnay membership is still the best deal in the land of card-carrying Trump resistance, and it's your following and sharing of Ixnay Pack on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook that keeps membership fees ridiculously low. It's like universal healthcare. If everybody pitches in, we can cure the nation of what ails it. So thanks again for everything, and if you're out on your bike tonight, don't forget, the nature of your oppression is the aesthetic of our anger. Ixnay.